Matthew 24, beginning with verse 36 and reading through the conclusion of that chapter. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 36. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days, which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there shall be two men in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you be ready too. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and shall begin to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards. The master of the slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour which he does not know, and shall cut him in pieces, and assign him a place with the hypocrites. Weeping shall be there, and a gnashing of teeth. When you were children, probably all of us as children, have played that game hide and seek. And you know how you could do that game? You could adjust that game in some ways. You always, of course, had to hide your eyes and count while everybody else went and hid. And then you had to go find them. But sometimes you could kind of do it with your own rules. You could count real fast. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and hear it. And you could say, ready or not, here I come real fast and catch them before they even got hid. But then, of course, somebody then would adapt those rules, and pretty soon the game of hide-and-seek got very complicated. But it is that phrase or that thing, here, ready or not, here I come, that we're looking at this morning. You know, ready or not, you know, it speaks of God's manner of dealing with men. That there are limitations that have been placed upon man's time. And man's time, man's dealing with time period and his own conclusion to it with about what he's going to do with this earth is about to be over with. And what does this have to say then to each one of us? You know, in Genesis, the second chapter, if we could just go back to the very beginning, Genesis 2:5, God placed man, of course, in that garden to dress it. Genesis 2:5 says, now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. So God placed man there to cultivate it, to dress that ground. He placed him while and also in that garden with some very simple shalls and shall nots. Verses 16 and 17 here. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you shall surely eat from it, you shall surely die. Well, you know, then there was just all these things that they could do. Actually, the things that they could do were outnumbered. All the things, and the only one thing that they could not do, which was to eat from that one tree in the garden. But it was just like putting a wet paint sign up on it. Because Adam and Eve had to figure out, indeed, if it was true what God had said. And so they went and ate, of course, of that tree. They disobeyed, and then in their folly, and we look back upon the foolishness of all this, they went and tried to hide themselves from God. But ready or not, in their sin or not, God came and God found them, and then of course they paid the penalty for them. In the scripture reading that we read this morning from Matthew the 24th chapter, we read about, it begins with verse 36 there, about Noah's day. Well, Noah's day, of course, it begins in chapter 6 of Genesis, where verse 5 says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." God allowed Noah to build this ark, of course, and it was a mammoth task in which he was involved with. But not only was he involved in building this ark, but he was involved in preaching to his people and the people around him, to all the peoples of the earth, trying to communicate to them a message of salvation, that there was going to come this flood. And in fact, it was about a 100-year stretch here. We don't know how much time he spent working on the ark and how much time he spent preaching, but he did both those things. And he preached to these people about the coming doom that was going to happen upon the earth. He gave ample time then for people to repent. But the day come in which the door was shut and the rains began to fall and the floods began to come up, and ready or not for those people, God then judged the earth at that time. In Genesis 18th and 19th chapter, we have the situation in Sodom. God pronounced a judgment upon these wicked cities. The angels, of course, after they had made a hospitality stop, I guess, at Abraham's tents, went to Sodom, where they conferred with Lot. And the angels also then preached a message of salvation to all the wicked inhabitants of Sodom. And the angels came then with this warning. But few listened and took heed. And they encouraged Lot then to escape for his life. Genesis 19 and verse 17, they told him to hurry out of the city. You know, Lot drug his feet, hoping that the city would be spared in some way. But finally, in verse 17 of chapter 19 of Genesis, it said, "And it came about, when they had brought them outside, that one said, 'Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, lest you be swept away.'" Don't look behind you. Escape right now. The imperative was there for them to get out of Sodom right then and there, if indeed they themselves are going to be spared the judgment that was going to occur upon Sodom. There was a moment for them to act. They had to do something. And ready or not, and certainly Lot was not ready for this, but ready or not, judgment came upon the wicked cities, of course, of Sodom and Gomorrah. And scarcely had Lot and his family left than when the fire began to fall. Later on in the book of Exodus, if we go up a book, in the fourth part of the book of Exodus, of course, we have the story of the children of Israel down in Egypt. And the moment arrived in which God decided to bring them out of the land of Egypt, and he sent Moses there. And Pharaoh said, "Well, then, who is this Jehovah that I should obey his voice?" He did not feel the time was ready for him to take action, that he was comfortable with what was going on in the lifestyle that he had and the lifestyle for all of his countrymen. But under Moses, of course, the children of Israel left Egypt. And Pharaoh pursued after them. After the children of Israel had crossed across through the Red Sea and over into the dry land, Pharaoh's army continued to pursue them into the Red Sea. And ready or not, whether they had swimming lessons or not, the waters came upon them and Pharaoh's army drowned. And whether they then were ready for judgment or not, it happened to them. Galatians, the fourth chapter and the fourth verse, And from William's translation, it says, when the proper time had come, God sent his son. You know, when the proper moment in history came, God sent his son. He had him born in the seed of woman. And it was, of course, after all the details had been put together and placed there so that the communication to the word that was going to be presented to the world at that time could be spread to the entire world. You know, it was the various empires that occurred through there were part of the wonderful master plan of God and part of the timing. For instance, just preceding the Roman Empire, of course, was the Greece Empire, and it was Alexander who spread this Greek influence all across even a larger portion of the world than the Roman Empire ever encompassed. But wherever Alexander went, he took with him the Greek language. And the Greek language was the universal language then when the Romans took over a greater part of that empire. And the Romans had, of course, built the vast roadways and networks by which people could travel. And so there was a common language and common roadway and transportation that was there at the time of Jesus and later during the missionaries of Paul, so that the word could go out. But we know that when the wise men stopped by that evening and told Herod that they had seen the king's star in the east, Herod wasn't ready for a king to be born. We know later on when Jesus challenged the Pharisees in various discussions and debates, the Pharisees were not ready for the Messiah that they had been looking for and proclaiming themselves to be him. And so, ready or not, God sent forth his son at the proper time in history. Even though Herod wasn't ready and the Pharisees were not ready and the bulk of the Jews were not ready, God sent forth his son. What then is this message of ready or not, I am coming? Is it a message of doom? Well, it quite to the contrary. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, the knowledge of his word. And that is what God intends. It is not a message of doom. It's a message of life. It is a message that God intends for us to have. He wants for us to all to come to a knowledge of his word and repent and be baptized and then be presented to him in that eternal kingdom. But we know that it did not happen during the time previous. It did not happen during Noah's day. It did not happen during the time of Egypt. It did not happen when Christ came. It is not happening around us, but it is God's intent that that should happen. He does not want to see anybody die. He does not want anybody to find destruction. But ready or not points out the maximum, of course, of the limits of his mercy. That God has probably more merciful than we are. Sometimes, perhaps when we get down in the Sunday school classes and we study the word, we say, well, I don't see how God could allow this judgment to occur this way to these people. And how he could have been so harsh dealing here and pick out the case, for instance, of Achan and Ai, and where he destroyed his whole family and all of his animals there, and say, what a harsh judgment. But in all reality, God is far more merciful with people than we are. But someday his mercy comes to a limit. And ready or not is not a threat of doom. It is a warning then for us to get ready. Matthew 24:50 that we read in our scripture reading says, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him in an hour that he is not aware of. So they are caught unawares. That there are people who will not be looking for him. That there will be a portion that is given them among the hypocrites. And we are left and implored then with that word watch. Well, I think we have reached that point where there are many who are walking around saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were since the beginning of creation. Those who once had an earnest love and fell in love with the Lord and His Word and the designs that He gave for their lives now are having second thoughts and questions. And they are wondering if the Lord really is coming back. And if He is coming back, surely being the God that He is, He will not separate some out as good and bad. Surely He must love us all. Matthew, the 25th chapter, we have there a parable that Jesus gave to us. The 10 virgins. Matthew 25. I want to read the first few verses here, but if anything, this passage tells us that the time of preparation is critical. Upon it depends our entire future. Matthew 25, begin with verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil and flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, saying, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they are going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered and said, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." Mark 13:37 says, "Lest coming suddenly, he find us sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch." In this parable of the 10 virgins, of course, it tells to us of our practical situation that some will be ready when Christ returns. And where we stand depends entirely upon us in regards to readiness. Now, all the virgins took some oil. All had a desire to see the bridegroom. All had done some preparation. But the degree lay in, differences lay in the degree of preparation that it had made. It's a matter of priorities. It amazes me that people think that what they can get, or maybe on a few moments on Sunday morning in Sunday school class, after you've gotten the offering taken care of and the attendance and the visiting taken care of, the few facts that they garner there, and for a few minutes that they can get here on Sunday morning, and maybe show up on Sunday evening or maybe Wednesday evening, and if we had you for the maximum time of 4 hours, it amazes me that they think that that's enough in their life to take care of preparations for the future. That come Sunday morning, people spend the game going around trying to find out where they put their Bible when they came home last Sunday morning. It's a matter of priorities. A young man on television had set up this very complex arrangement of dominoes. And at that determined moment, then he set the first one in motion. And over the course of about a minute, the motion continued in this very elaborate and beautiful design. And, you know, they filmed it, and it was just something to watch how those dominoes went and all this design that came out, everything. But in a minute, it was over. Every one of the dominoes had dropped. There wasn't any more to see. Now, the man was interviewed, and he said it had taken him 6 hours to set up all the dominoes in place. Now, that might be fine for setting up dominoes, but even after all that time, it's over so quickly. What about the priorities of our life? Are we spending a lot of time setting up dominoes that are going to collapse and it's going to be a brief show, but will mean nothing in the end? Ready or not, I am coming. The bridegroom came, and the wise went in to the supper. Luke 21:34. Luke 21:34. Be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap. Jesus says, take heed. Be on guard. And what is Jesus' preventive formula then? In verse 36 here of this chapter, he says, but keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. He says two things to us, to watch and to pray. He is coming to bestow immortality. With such a prospect before us, should we not be downright earnest about our calling? Should we not be making every effort to make it sure? Stand. We are prepared to give a worthy account of our faithfulness of work well done. What shall we have to say? You know, if you had to play golf to get into the kingdom, there's one thing for sure. You'd have to shoot a perfect score, which would be 18. That's right, it'd be 18 hole-in-ones in a row. Because God requires perfection. So how many people do you know that can shoot an 18 in golf? I don't either. And if I did know someone who could, I'd let him play in my place. Because there's no way that I'd ever shoot a perfect score. Of course, you don't have to play golf to get into the kingdom, and that's the good news. But the bad news is that you do have to be perfect. So how many people do you know that are perfect? I only know one. His name is Jesus. So whose life score are you going to choose? Your own? Or his? We're given opportunity here as we sing the last song. For you to choose. Whose score do you want to be judged by? Are you really ready? Ready or not, I am coming. This is our whole purpose now. Not to run and hide, but to prepare. So that we may meet Him with joy. And stand then before the Son of Man. Approved. Accepted. Forever.